Greetings. Welcome to this virtual gathering of Emmanuel Mennonite Church. Yeah, during these times of social distancing, perhaps this is going to be the way it'll be for a little while here. I just want to remind you, though, to find ways to stay in touch with each other. Give someone a phone call, write a letter, write an email. It's important that we remain together even though we're apart. So I modified our regular service a little bit to make it a little bit easier to do by myself. And hopefully it'll make some sense as we go through this. Continuing our Lenten series, The Journey is Long. I'll begin with an opening prayer. So pray with me. Oh God, you broke down the barriers when you crept in beside us. In Jesus, you touched all and touched us. You opened our eyes to see how the hands of the rich were empty and the hearts of the poor were full. You took the widow's mite and the child's loaves and used them to show us the kingdom. Here in the company of the neighbor whom we know and the stranger in our midst, and the self from whom we turn, we ask to love as Jesus loved. Make this the place and time, good Lord, when heaven and earth become one, and we in word and flesh know ourselves, beloved. Amen. If you have a hymnal, you can turn to number 545 in the blue book. We're going to do Be Thou My Vision. It's a popular one, so maybe you don't need your hymnal.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou.
Our scripture reading is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 44. This is the Common English Bible. One of the legal experts heard their dispute and saw how well Jesus answered them. He came over and asked them, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Jesus replied, "The most important one is, 'Israel, listen. Our God is the Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your mind, and with all your strength.' And the second is this, 'You will love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these.'" The legal expert said to him, "Well said, teacher. You have truthfully said that God is one, and there is no other besides God. And to love God with all of the heart, a full understanding, and all of one's strengths, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more important than all kinds of entirely burned offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered with wisdom, he said to him, "You aren't far from God's kingdom." After that, no one dared to ask him more questions. While Jesus was teaching in the temple, he said, "Why do the legal experts say that the Christ is David's son? David himself, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right side until I turn your enemies into your footstool.' David himself calls him Lord. So how can he be David's son?" The large crowd listened to him with delight. As he was teaching, he said, "Watch out for the legal experts. They like to walk around in long robes. They want to be greeted with honor in the markets. They long for places of honor in the synagogues and at banquets. They are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes. And to show off, they say long prayers. They will be judged most harshly." Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money, and one poor widow came forward and put 2 small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." Last week, we came to realize that Jesus and his disciples made it to Jerusalem, though our coverage of the narrative missed their arrival. We will return to Mark 11 on Palm Sunday, so we will at least hear about Jesus' triumphal entry. And remember that even though they have arrived in Jerusalem at their destination, Jesus is still teaching on the way. So while in Jerusalem, Jesus goes to the temple to take care of business. And the first business that he had to take care of in the temple was turning over the tables of the moneylenders who had turned the house of prayer into a hideout of crooks. And this was basically the last straw for the chief priests and legal experts. At this point, they set out finding ways to destroy Jesus. And so last week we found them arguing with Jesus in the temple about authority and taxes. And Jesus continually confounds their attempts to discredit him. Between last week's and this week's text comes a question about resurrection from the Sadducees, who don't even believe in resurrection. And again, Jesus prevails. And so today, we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion about the law. While most of the religious authorities were standing against Jesus and trying to trap him with their questions, I'm not so sure that the legal expert in verse 28 was actually following suit. I think he is actually impressed with Jesus and is looking for a real answer to his question. The legal expert came over and called and asked Jesus, which commandment is the most important of all? For everyone, this is an important discovery on the way. The scribe isn't really asking Jesus about which commandment Jesus thinks is the most important one. Like not committing murder is more important than not coveting your neighbor's donkey. No, he's asking which commandment is the most central. Which commandment informs and realizes all the others? Which is the center of the law? Pay attention to this, because here is an important discipleship lesson to learn on the way. The answer isn't some cryptic bit of knowledge like one gets by climbing a mountain and seeking that bearded guru who has all the answers in life. No, the answer is found at the center of their regular lives. Remember, we've talked about the Mark sandwich that Mark likes to use to point out important stuff. And it's always what's in the middle, in the center, that's really important. At the heart of Jewish worship is the Shema. This is a prayer, and it's the centerpiece for both morning and evening worship. And it's also the beginning of a section of the Torah. And we can find the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 5. Israel, listen. Our God is the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your being, and all your strength. And of course, Jesus modifies this a little bit to include a part of what we can find in Leviticus 19:18. You must love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. But the centrality of the Shema within everyday worship of the people Jesus is talking to, it can't be overlooked. To quote Tim Gettert, thus Jesus says, the center of the law is not some hidden key to be discovered by intricate exegetical maneuvers. The center of the law is the love command repeated regularly in worship. Love is the answer. So what happens here is that Jesus confirms for the legal expert that love of God and neighbor is the foundation for all the other stuff we do when we follow the ways of God's kingdom. And we know this because the last thing Jesus tells this man is, you aren't far from God's kingdom. We are being taught the way to live in God's kingdom. And love of God and people is the most central part of the way. Now, it's not every Sunday that our scripture text coincides with what's going on currently in the world around us. But curiously, today it does. Our congregational leadership team made a decision about how we as a congregation will respond to the pandemic threat of COVID-19. And this is why you're watching or listening to me at this time. If you're on Facebook or Twitter or some other social media, you've likely heard this and, you know, this and that about the coronavirus. Sometimes it's hard to know what's right and what isn't. Some people wonder if it's a threat that we should take seriously or if we should just keep living our lives like normal. It's really hard not to panic. It's really hard to shelter in place. It's really hard. Well, I'll tell you, COVID-19 is a threat that everyone must take seriously. But taking it seriously doesn't mean that we should all panic and run out there and buy all the toilet paper we can find. Right? Doing so actually makes it really difficult for everyone to find the supplies that they need. As we learn and live on the way, we learn that loving God and loving our neighbors as ourselves, that these things are at the center of everything we do. As we consider how to respond to COVID-19, it's highly unlikely that even if I do contract the virus, that I'll be seriously harmed by it. I mean, I'm a relatively young and relatively healthy person. However, there is every possibility that I may, that if I contract this virus and remain effectively normal, I can still pass it on to someone who is at a much higher risk of serious consequences than I am. Social distancing might seem like a strange way to love our neighbors, but therein lies the way. As Jesus is responding to the legal and religious experts in Jerusalem, he also continues to teach his followers, and maybe even those legal experts if they would listen, that the way of God's kingdom is centered on loving God and loving neighbors, neither of which revolves around you. Just because you won't die from COVID-19 doesn't mean your neighbor won't. And that's something that should concern you. It should concern all of us. All right, so that covers like the first part of our text today. And I don't always feel like I have to preach on the whole part of the narrative lectionary text because it can be kind of long sometimes. But I don't feel like the rest of Mark 12, 28 to 44 should be overlooked as we're following Jesus on the way. What do we learn from Jesus when the large crowds gather around him? I mean, we learn that they are obviously not practicing social distancing. But here we find Jesus teaching that some of their common beliefs, the stuff that they might believe or do all the time, that maybe some of those things don't quite fit into the way that Jesus is teaching. Texts like this one in Mark are often used as parts of systematic theologies that build up doctrine or canons of set belief. And Jesus teaches about watching out for the legal experts who like to walk around in long robes. Jesus says they want to be greeted with honor in the markets. They long for places of honor in the synagogues and at banquets. They are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes. And to show off, they say long prayers. They will be judged most harshly. I don't for a second believe that Mark had doctrine in mind when he wrote his gospel. And for the record, I don't think that Paul's writings should be used in this way either. Mark has been writing about Jesus' ministry to the world, introducing Jesus and then teaching about the way. In this instance, Jesus is pointing out that there are that those who should know about and follow the law better than anyone are also the ones who ignore this central principle of the law. Love God and neighbor. They pay more attention to themselves and their status in society than the downtrodden people they encounter on a daily basis. The poor widow giving her last two coins to the collection box in the temple is an example of who the self-centered experts ignore. She's also an example of someone focused on living her life for others instead of for herself. She embodies love of God and neighbor. Even in verses 35 to 38 about the Christ being David's son, this even reflects the centrality of this love because it takes the authority the legal experts ascribe to a human of high status and just turns this on its head, placing authority back into God's space. So as we continue to walk on the way of discipleship that leads through Holy Week, past the triumphal entry and to the foot of the cross, and then on to Resurrection Sunday, may we keep the law of love central to our every thought and movement. As we consider how we as followers of Jesus in our context might respond to the local and global pandemic of COVID-19, may we keep the law of love central to everything that we do. Whatever decisions are made, whatever concessions are made, whatever traditions are modified as we navigate this current pandemic situation, may we keep the law of love central to our every thought and movement. We have to remember this isn't just about you or me. It's about us. It's about our love for God and our love for those who live in this world with us, our neighbors. We want to pray for and with each other. We want to protect our friends and neighbors. We want for this whole thing to be over, right? But instead, we must live with it for the foreseeable future. For us, following Jesus on the way might feel like a solitary journey right now. But may it not be so. Let's reach out to one another in any way that we can. And as we continue to practice social distancing and possibly the need to shelter in place, remember to love your neighbor. Remember that through social distancing, you are loving your neighbor. May we make this practice the center of our worship as we continue to pray that God might deliver us, that we might come out of this on the other side, intact. And in the meantime, may we remember to love one another. In place of our regular time of sharing of joys and concerns, since we're not all here to do that, Kim found a prayer, it was written by a friend of ours back in Fresno. No, this one was written by someone here. We actually found it through Stina. I'll read this prayer in a moment. But in lieu of our sharing of joys and concerns, if you have joys and if you have concerns, please email them to us so that we can include them in the weekly newsletter as another way to stay in touch, as another way that we might pray for one another. So, here, listen, pray with me a prayer called Lament for Pandemic. This one is written by Emily Cool Greener. And then we'll sing another song. Let's pray. For those who are lost, we mourn. For all that is broken, we cry out. With those who weep, we weep. Suffering servant, hear our prayer. For all who are alone, we invite your presence. For we who are trapped inside, we ask for freedom. For those without a safe place, we ask for protection. For the helpless, rather, help of the helpless, shelter your people. For those who labor on our behalf, healing, tending, delivering, God, we give thanks. For those whose work has been taken, we ask for provision. For those to whom the world looks for guidance, we entreat your wisdom. Shepherd, guide us through this shadow of death. From all that is obscured, we ask for light. From all our anxiety, we turn. God of love, cast out our fear. Amen.
My feet are strong, my eyes are clear. I cannot see away from here, but on we go. He knows the way. I'm in his arms, he keeps me safe. Fear not, keep on watch and pray. Walk in the light of God's highway. The shadows flee, the valleys deep, but evil cannot conquer me. Your rod and staff, they protect me. You give me rest, you give me peace. Fear not, keep on watch and pray. Walk in the light of God's highway. I see the shore from troubled seas, this tiny ship that carries me. It is not yet, but it will be. So heaven come, it's you we need. Fear not, keep on watch and pray. Walk in the light of God's highway. I'm holding on to
That brings us to the end of this gathering. virtual as it is. Hear now the sending blessing written by Joanna Herriter. Whatever wilderness the Spirit has brought to you. I'm going to say that again. Whatever wilderness the Spirit has brought you to, walk in boldness as a beloved child of God. Walk in peace under the shelter of the Most High. Walk in faith, knowing Christ walks with you. Amen. Be in peace.